Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? What? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here. Let's hook you in the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. He who had injury, he who had.
King Derek the Fifth.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Talia Tua Valoa. Yeah.
This song I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now. You got to be a trendsetter. 14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
Loud. If it's loud to me, you know it's loud. Hey, good morning. It is The Drive with Say and Piper. I am Lodse. He is King David.
He who had.
King Derek over there to my left. Trevor Valise to the right. We're going to do our MLB postseason predictions at the end of the show. I know that is something that everybody sticks around for because they don't care one bit how we predict it. But we're going to do that at the end because it's always kind of fun to see if you can accidentally get it correct. I keep staring at one series that I cannot wait to watch, and that's the White Sox and Astros and that thing. That's going to be a fun series. I mean, this is a White Sox team, Derek, and we got plenty to get to. I'm not going to stick on baseball for right now. We'll get to it later, but that is one series where you look at the White Sox and the year they've had, and then all of a sudden it's that hated Astros team from 2 years ago, right? That is still has a lot of the same suspects, and you've got a chance to knock them off. And then if you don't, then everybody's like, oh man, Houston just took out one of the cooler teams in the White Sox trying to get a World Series. So I think that's one series that I cannot wait to watch this postseason.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. And Houston's just that team that won't go away.
No, they won't.
And their pitching's not the same in terms of like Verlander. Not there because he's been hurt all year long, and Cole's obviously gone now, but still a very good team. They got Greinke on the front end of that rotation. And on paper, not to spoil anything, we're going to pick the entire thing. I like the White Sox in this series. I've heard some things about Rodon and his. Mm-hmm. I'm not following this super closely, I'll be honest with you.
You're not Jeremy Warnering
the
White Sox, are you?
But Rodon being a question mark going into the series, I don't know if he's going to be able to pitch. I'll have to look that up.
You'll have to look that up by 5:30.
If he is out, that would be a big loss for them. But, yeah, that is definitely one that when you see the early slate, that's the one that really stands out on the bracket so far.
What we could do is go through and just pick out former Cardinals in each series, like Lance Lynn in that one. You've got Luke Voit in that Yankees-Boston game. What else? Atlanta? Well, you had Marcell Ozuna, but he's in a little bit of trouble. And then, of course, the Cardinals in L.A., that's going to be fun, man. Tomorrow night, what's that, about a 7:30 start. So we'll get to all of baseball around 5:30. We are going to hear from some of the Illini basketball players. You had a chance to talk to them on Illinois Basketball Media Day, which was last Friday. We'll get to that in the second hour as well. We're going to whip around the NFL this hour. And
Trevor writes whip, and you say rip.
I say rip. I still don't know why I say rip around the NFL. It makes no sense, but it's kind of my thing, I guess.
Cardinals ripping through the NFL.
Right. Only undefeated team out there. So why not? Jason Thompson, our buddy, tweeted out today. He's like, the Cardinal baseball team's red hot, and the Cardinals football team is undefeated. It's Tay Day. It is nice to be a Tay right now. That could all change in a hurry, but it is fun today. I'll go ahead and enjoy that while I can. At 4:40 today, we're going to visit with Jonah Wilson. He's kind of like a Missouri Valley expert, if you will. And there's some movement going on right now in college basketball. Probably a lot of you haven't heard about this, but Belmont, who's been to like five straight NCAA tournaments, they are leaving the Ohio Valley Conference and moving to the Missouri Valley Conference, which, of course, includes Illinois State and my dogs down in Southern Illinois. also Murray State leaving the OVC. And everybody just assumes they're going to be joining the Missouri Valley as well. So we'll talk to Jonah about that. I want to get an idea from him on what's happening, what's going to happen to the OVC. Of course, that's Eastern Illinois is in the OVC. So some changes happening in college sports. We all know that. I mean, you've got, of course, Oklahoma and Texas getting set to join the SEC eventually one of these years. So things happening. So we'll talk to Jonah about that. I also want to ask him what he expects out of Illinois State and Southern this year in basketball. So we'll do that around 4:40. And, of course, as mentioned, whip around the NFL around 4:20 today. Another thing that was announced today, some TV times, right?
We know
the times, don't we? Or maybe we didn't know the times. We just knew the opponents and the dates. Now we for sure know the time on some of these and what channel you could be watching your Illini if you're not at the State Farm Center or electing to travel with the team. So I saw Brett Behrens, our buddy, mention that they've got a CBS Sunday afternoon game this year, which is pretty cool. Is that the Michigan game?
I'd have to look through here.
I can't remember. I think that was right. Yeah, it's the Michigan game. Michigan. Trevor is saying yes to that.
Yes. But
are we still getting the early ESPN Plus games that I cannot watch?
There is one right off the bat. Well, you get both exhibition games or Big Ten Plus.
Okay.
Which, if you miss St. Francis and Indiana, Pennsylvania, which I can't figure that one out. On Big Ten Plus, the opener is on Big Ten Network, Jackson State, Tuesday, okay, November 9th. But then their second game at home against Arkansas State is another Big Ten Plus.
Okay.
If you're into what was it, like $12 a month?
And then you could just cancel it after the first month.
Not ideal.
I just let those slide and watch you on Twitter. Does that make sense?
Or go to the game.
Or go to the game, which would make sense.
And you have at Marquette, which is your first nationally televised game on FS1.
Okay.
There are a handful. I think Brett tweeted it out. I'll have to see here in the press release. I think it was 15 or 16 nationally televised games.
Nice.
On the season, which is pretty good. I do see the Hall of Fame Classic, though, against Cincinnati. ESPN News is going to throw some people off. That's going to throw a few people through a loop about, I would think, with the advancements in TV packages and everything, most, if you have this, the quote-unquote sports package,
right,
you've got ESPN News.
You got that 06, 07, 08, 09, 206, you know, all that on DirecTV and ESPN
right
News.
Right next to the U.
Yeah, right next to the U, exactly. ESPN News. I haven't said that term in years. I mean, is literally that Hall of Fame Classic must not be very well thought of. But, you know, Illinois is hardly on ESPN now because FS1 has the agreement with the Big Ten. So interesting there that you don't see a lot of Illinois games on ESPN, but you will see them on the Big Ten Network, of course, and FS1, and then, of course, CBS. So that'll be fun. You know what I miss this year? And I thought maybe they would try to stick with this because it felt like it was fairly successful. Were those little pods? What were they called? Illinois had one last year.
The multi-team events?
Yeah, the multi-team events. The MTEs. I kind of liked that. Basically four teams, right? And just let them play like back to back to back. I thought that was pretty cool. But no, that didn't survive, I guess.
Well, you can still do that. They're technically in an MTE being the Hall of Fame Classic.
Ah.
So since they weren't in like a Maui or something like that last year, that was their alternative.
Okay.
And if you were in an MTE, it expanded how many games you could have on your schedule. If you weren't in one, you had to play like two less games or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what
COVID rules.
Yeah, well, I think maybe even a regular season,
mm-hmm,
MTE versus not. But they did decrease, like you were saying, with COVID, and did you start a little bit late last year?
It's
been so long ago, I can't really remember.
I think it was like the day before Thanksgiving,
Thanksgiving. A couple weeks late. It's usually it's the beginning of November.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, I just kind of liked that and thought maybe that would stick, but no biggie, whatever, it is what it is.
Arizona's on Fox.
Is it really?
Like Channel 11 Fox, or 55 or whatever.
Or 55, okay, that's interesting. Well, is Arizona supposed to be any good this year? Man, their football and basketball programs. Their basketball program's still pretty good, but they've kind of just taken their football program's horrible. And it seems like now their basketball program, of course, with Miller gone, I don't even know who the coach is now. But Arizona, that's when we played Arizona, what was that, 2 years ago? And played in or at Tucson, they put it to you in that second half. And we were so excited about getting that return game. And then COVID ended that. So now you get the return game this year. I'm guessing if you're Arizona, last year you looked at Illinois squad and thought, man, I'm glad we're not playing them this year. And then you look at Illinois squad this year and you're like, oh, crap, they're still really good. So I guess we have to face the music and come to Champaign. And I'm assuming Illinois will get that one.
They should. It's not your typical, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago Arizona type of team. And they don't have that same amount of talent, which turns out you couldn't recruit as well when you were under sanctions or under the FBI microscope. Now, they were really talented when you played them in Tucson at the beginning of the 2019-20 season.
That Nico Mannion crew.
Josh Green, and Zeke Nagy.
Oh, that's
right. Three guys that all went to the NBA after 1 year there. But last year they weren't a tournament team. They were 17-9, went 11-9 in the Pac-12, 30th around KenPom. And then you look at their recruiting class coming in, and of course Sean's not there. So usually year one of a recruiting class isn't all that good. Tommy Lloyd is their new head coach. He was an assistant under Mark Few
at
Gonzaga.
Got it.
They had 1 4-star who was a top 100, couple transfers, but nothing really like jumping off the page in terms of talent with those Wildcats.
Well, that'll be. I mean, you're going to see Illinois plenty of times this year.
Missouri is at 8 p.m., by the way.
Oh, 8 p.m.
on BTN.
Yeah.
On the 22nd. Well, last year was on the SEC network, right? So I guess they're giving us the kudos this year without a coin flip, without Andy Katz having to come in and make that illustrious coin flip down there. That was all just... And then you lose to them. Has Illinois lost 3 straight to Missouri?
They have. First and foremost, like on the wish list of this rivalry, you got to write that.
Yes.
Like break that streak.
Brad hasn't beaten them?
He did year one.
Oh, no, that's right. Year one.
They were up by like 20 at halftime. Trent went on a crazy heater as a freshman.
Yes.
And pretty much blew them off the floor. Missouri made it closer late in that game. But Mark Smith is undefeated. Well, he's now out of the series now. He's at Kansas State. He went 4-0.
Great. And then our guy down there that we can't ever beat, that has his one clutch game a year.
Jalen Pickett. I said Jalen. Javon Pickett.
Or Javon. You're sounding
Jalen
like me
Jalen Pickett
now.
On Penn State now.
You're sounding like me. All right, so.
It's really weird, by the way. This has nothing to do with anything that you play 2 St. Francis's. From
Do
different
they really?
States, and then you play a team named Indiana, but they're from Pennsylvania.
That is strange.
Now, granted, some of those are exhibitions, but kind of weird.
Those exhibition games just allow fans to realize that there are actually colleges out there by that name. Because sometimes you're playing them, and you're like, I mean, you know, once in a while they played Quincy or some Illinois college, but a lot of times you're like, who's that? Never even heard of that. So it's kind of cool.
I just think if they're going to go the meaningless route, I would prefer something with some type of narrative. Even if it's
like losing in Charleston.
Well, okay. Maybe not.
You know what's interesting?
Did the Loyola loss overcome? Is that now number one, you think, on Brad Underwood's worst loss in his mind? Because I know you always said that he always brings that Charleston up, the EIU loss.
Right. One in Florida Atlantic have to be pretty high on the list during Kofi's official visit. Apparently it wasn't that bad because Kofi still decided to come to Illinois.
That or he looked at it and said, boy, these guys need help. And he was right. And he has helped, for sure. 29 wins in the last 2 years in the Big Ten. It's pretty impressive.
It's most of any team in the conference.
That's pretty impressive.
Speaking of big guys, how about this little turnaround? And this is crazy as far as the time slots. You play Michigan and Purdue back-to-back on a home weekend, essentially. It's Friday night, Monday.
Ooh.
You get Michigan at 8 p.m. on FS1 on January 14th, and then that's a Friday, and then a Monday the 17th, you play Purdue at 11 a.m.
What?
On Martin Luther King Day, you play 11 a.m.
Huh?
On that Monday.
11 a.m. on Monday.
On Fox.
Wow. Wait, what?
Yeah. I didn't know this either.
So play late into the night on Friday, and then back 11 a.m. for tip-off on
the biggest game of the year is at 11 a.m. on a Monday.
Hey, getting you ready for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Didn't Illinois play at 11 against Drexel?
They played at 11 against Loyola.
Oh, yeah, then 11 against Loyola. Maybe Brad's like, hey, I'm all for this.
That is so weird.
That is kind of weird. That's a good call on your part. It's a good catch. That is interesting.
Implemented by Kevin Warren as a thanks to the Lion fans for bashing his calculation in the Big Ten title awarding last year. Oh, you guys want to win it this year? We'll give you Michigan on a Friday night and Purdue at 11 a.m. on Monday.
What do you think of that? Hey, when I think of Kevin Warren, I think painful. I told Trevor when I came in today, I'm a little bit off today, and it's because of what just happened in the parking lot. So I am like...
not that dramatic.
I have like less hair on my body than probably most, right? I just don't have a lot of hair. I had a nose hair today that was tickling me the entire day. So I pulled up in the parking lot today, got these tweezers out, and I had to pull that thing. That is painful. Do you have that
problem
yet?
It's messed you up?
It's totally messed me up. I haven't been the same since. Do you ever have that problem yet?
With nose hairs?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've got like a trimmer. I'm not plucking mine.
I do too.
It's not a barbarian.
Right. I have a trimmer, but it's at home, and I don't have it on me. And this thing has just been bugging me all day to the point where I'm just getting it. I'm going in and I'm getting it. Mm. And it hurt. Oh, my God. I mean, why do we need... I know why, you know, for protection and that kind of sorts, but do we need hair coming out of your ear and nose? And then as you get older, you know, you're just like, look at you. Like, Lon, go in there and take care of yourself. That's just what it's become. All right, let's take a break on that note.
Okay.
I know, right? It's like you need to tidy up. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to whip around the NFL, go through each game. We try. We usually get through most of the games. But we'll do that.
Usually get through most. I try.
Right? I know, because it's usually we're talking too much, and well, me, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, and these other three games that were really important that we're not going to talk about. Jonah Wilson at 4:40. We're going to talk some college basketball and some movement going on. Teams leaving the Ohio Valley Conference, probably ending up in the Missouri Valley. We'll talk to him at 4:40. Hear from some of the Illini players, Illinois Basketball Media Day. And then at 5:30, we'll kind of do our predictions for MLB, the playoffs begin today with the Rangers, with the Yankees and Red Sox going at it. And, of course, tomorrow night, Cardinals and Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. I cannot wait for that one. Max Scherzer, Adam Wainwright in primetime. Sign me up. We're back. It is The Drive. At Forward from Rastavi, Georgia, number 15, Georgie B.
Hey, it's me, Georgie B. My last 3 years in Champaign have been amazing, amazing, amazing. But the fun doesn't have to stop. Get down to Game Day Spirit to find the exclusive Georgie B t-shirt collection. You will be glad you did. It's always a great day to have a great day at Game Day Spirit, baby. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop. Yes, sir.
Take charge of the years ahead with a smart, sound investment strategy and business succession plan. UC Bank's business and wealth management experts help you envision your best future with powerful insights and proven strategies. Building business and growing wealth since 1868. UC Bank, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
This football season, make sure you rush into Dick Van Dyke Appliance World like a middle linebacker who got the blitz signal. They have a brand new showroom ready to knock your cleats off. The remodel has customers buzzing. The selection is off the charts with plenty of in-stock appliances to choose from. Also, check out the new wall mural starring Dennis and your favorite local All-American linebacker. Dick Van Dyke is now offering financing that's interest-free until January 2023. Stop in the store or start your appliance shopping now at appliance-world.com.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we
Our U of I Alumni Association has so many events planned for Homecoming Week to incorporate campus and community. Get your orange and blue out and ready to wear with a parade on Saturday, October 9th with a tailgating going on. Then our Illini will face Wisconsin. Learn about all there is to offer at homecoming.illinois.edu. Close or part, we're Illini at heart. Pia's Sports Bar and Grill will host a pregame party on late Friday afternoon with prizes from Captain Morgan and tickets to the Illini football games the next day. Wear your orange and blue and join the fun at 1609 Springfield Avenue in Champaign as special guests come by for the live radio show. And our Illini fans enjoy great food and drink specials as we say, Go Illini! Get your team motivated and working together better as they learn leadership skills online October 8th as we join John Maxwell's great supportive materials to tap into as you sign up now at Habib, Habib.com. As we keep business buzzing here in East Central Illinois with Stevie J Broadcasting.
You can be a hero in the eyes of Cunningham Kids. Join us Saturday, October 16th for Cunningham Children's Home Be a Hero 5K at Crystal Lake Park. Whether you move like the Flash or at Hulk speed, the Be a Hero 5K is open to both runners and walkers. Registration is just $25 and includes a t-shirt. All proceeds from the race will benefit the youth, adults, and families Cunningham serves. Register today and be a hero for Cunningham. That's the Be a Hero 5K on Saturday, October 16th. Register at cunninghamhome.org.
Terrific Flooring in Tolono.
I'm Brian Neverman. Bring your room together with a rug from my hand-picked collection. Express yourself with our global designs for your personal space. Come experience the Neverman difference.
Visit NevermanFloorArtisans.com.
Our university, our students, and our alumni. As we get into October, participate in Homecoming Week with the University of Illinois. See our international ties with the Global Talent Show and tap into our American Football 101 as you get good insight from the Division of Intercollegiate Athletics. Midweek, U of I will be honoring the arts with a special Cranert Art Museum tour and a salute to some of our creative alumni. Then show your Illini pride by cheering the Illini on at Huff Hall as they battle Purdue. Close apart, we're Illini at heart. For details, visit homecoming.illinois.edu.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Madison Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855. Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola is your local furniture expert. They've been in business over 50 years and their sales team has over 150 years of experience. They carry everything you need to furnish your whole house with top name brands such as Broyhill, Lane, Ashley, Smith Brothers, Bemco Mattresses, and Mohawk Carpeting. Their showroom is huge with over 30,000 square feet of furniture. Stop by Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola today or visit kelseyfurniture.com, K-E-L-S-E-Y, Kelsey Furniture, or like them on Facebook, Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg, Cats Lon Tay, and Derek Piper, weekdays from 4 to 6, right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
ESPN Radio 93.5. I forgot to tell you that you can text The Drive on the U of I Illini Link text line at 359-2255. You can also find us on Twitter at The Drive 93.5. There's all sorts of options on watching us, but I think they all know that.
StevieJ.com.
Yeah, boom.
Podcast, TayandPiper.podbean.com. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes. If you like hearing about nose hairs, we're really big into that game these days.
It's just a part of life. Oh, so is this. The National Football League. It is time to take our trek and tell everybody what we thought about the games this weekend. Trevor!
Speed round.
Boom.
We have 12 minutes. Hurry up offense.
That seems like a long time.
Bengals beat the Jaguars on Thursday night, 24-21. Urban Meyer's in a club. I don't know what's happening.
What is going on with that?
But the Bengals come back from a halftime deficit and win.
He didn't fly home with the team. And so, was that not premeditated?
It seemed like it was.
I mean, that's weird.
You pack the Ohio State pullover.
Is he sitting there going, okay, I hate the NFL this bad. I want the USC job this bad that I'm just going to sabotage my entire life by not flying home with the team and then heading to some club and dancing with co-ed. I don't know. Weird stuff. Anyway.
Twitter game was strong, though, if you saw some of the jokes that were out there.
Oh, I did not.
They were pretty great.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back and review that. This game was way back on Thursday, and I don't remember anything about it. Did Ja'Marr Chase score a touchdown?
No.
He did not.
That was the only thing we needed.
Thank you, the one thing you remembered.
Painful memories. It's like a coach saying, I remember a loss. You know, good for Cincy. That's a game they needed to win. Jacksonville, just not good. That's all I got.
Yeah, Burrow and the Bengals was 3-0. Or 3-1, I should say. They lost to the Bears. That's too bad.
Well, juggernaut.
Burrow threw for 350, two touchdowns. They got Packers coming up. How about some help?
Oh. Is that this? That's this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Bengals.
The WTF, as we like to call them, football team, beat the Falcons 34-30. They were down by 8 with 5 to go, and then Heinicke led them on 2 drives, including the game-winning one, and they beat the Falcons 34-30.
I thought Washington had a good defense. Like, we ended the season last year with them in the playoffs playing pretty well and doing so because they had Chase Young and this really good defensive line. And now they're giving up like 30 points to everyone. It doesn't make any sense to me. I just thought Washington would be a little bit better this year because of that defense, but they're not very good. And of course, Taylor Heinicke, I mean, whatever.
He's not good enough for them to go anywhere.
It's a cool name, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could pick a name in your next life, wouldn't it be Taylor Heinicke? It's a pretty cool name.
Really go Ja'Marr Chase.
Right,
that sounds a lot more cool.
It does, actually.
There's some players on that team that I like Antonio Gibson.
You do like him.
Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. I thought their defense was good, but some teams who have given up fewer points than the Washington football team, that would be the Lions, the Texans, the Jaguars. So the WTF.
What happened?
They're 30th in the league in scoring defense. WTF is what I would ask.
That's exactly right. It's happening.
Bills.
Terry McLaurin, by the way, big week again. He's good. Where's he from? Where did he play college? Is he like an Auburn guy?
I don't know.
He's probably like a small. No, he's probably a small college guy, Ohio State.
Oh, he played at Ohio State. Okay, that's my fault.
Bills 40, Texans nothing. Mitch Trubisky scored a touchdown.
Oh, gosh.
That's how bad this one got.
The Bills are impressive. I still don't know how they lost to Pittsburgh on week one. That might be their only loss of the year.
Block punt, a bad call.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, you're right. Going the Steelers' direction. Shocking. Kidding, Steelers fans. Bills are in the Super Bowl. I think the Bills win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
They're good.
I know you feel that way.
Mm.
And they had to get right after that Steelers game. They put up 35, 43, and 40. And now they're going to Kansas City for what should be a fantabulous matchup.
Oh.
And they can go score for score with the Chiefs, one of the few teams in the league that can do that.
You know, it's funny that I just said, I don't think the Bills lose again. And then you're like, well, they go to Kansas City this week. I'm like, after this week.
Cowboys 36, Panthers 28. The Cowboys are up 36, I think, like 10 or something like that. And Panthers kind of came back and almost backdoored it.
I shouldn't be surprised because the Cowboys were injured last year. A lot of injuries. But as surprised as I am at Washington being horrible on defense, is almost as surprised as I am in how I feel about the Cowboys. Like, that's a good team. Of course, with Prescott out last year, their entire offensive line essentially was out last year. I think this is a really good Cowboys team.
On levels of surprise, the fact of the gap between the Cowboys and Washington is that big is also up there with the fact that Sam Darnold has 5 rushing touchdowns through 4 games. That aside,
right.
The Cowboys still have, are they great defensively? No. Trayvon Diggs is a really good corner. He had, I think, 2 interceptions in that game. And offensively, they're a juggernaut.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They deserve to be talked about in towards the top of that NFC.
Now, I know this because he's on my fantasy team, but CeeDee Lamb had like 2 catches for 13 yards, and they still scored 30-some points or whatever. That's a pretty good team. I'm done.
Did anybody watch it? Colts 27, Dolphins 17.
No, but I listened to it.
I actually listened
to the Colts game. Yeah, on the radio. I don't remember.
Because you can't find the Bears on the radio?
I can't find the Bears. Where are the Bears?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone around here has them.
Why do we not?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Carry the Bears. Do I need to bring this up with Stevie? Probably would be the.
I thought we didn't have them because someone else already had them, but I haven't yet to be able to find them.
Could not find. I found the Bears on what, 7:80 a.m. and I could. But you know, I don't get very good AM radio. Who does? That's why we're an FM station here. But no, yeah, no, I didn't watch much of this game.
Jacoby Brissett and Carson Wentz didn't really get it done for many people out there.
Colts had to win that game.
They did. Wentz played well statistically, but didn't do a whole lot for me.
I'm with you.
Browns 14, Vikings 7. The Browns were favored by 1. They win 14-7.
Okay, now that's one of those games where I expected to be a little bit more of a shootout, and it's 14-7.
Of course, that game I had Chubb to score a touchdown, and it was the game Hunt scored 2. Next week, I'll pick Hunt to score a touchdown, and Chubb will score 2.
I love our problems that we have. You know, that's a good win for Cleveland. And it helped the Bears, so.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it all the way around. And as you said earlier a couple weeks ago, what's up with Cleveland playing some of these close games or maybe not hitting that next gear? And I think it is. You said, is it Baker? And his stats so far lead you to believe that, because through 4 games, he has 2 touchdown passes.
Mm.
He really struggled in that game. That's what kept it close. Browns are still really good, though.
Yes.
The Giants beat the Saints in their home opener in overtime, 27-21. Barkley, 2 touchdowns.
So the Saints started the year. Who did they beat?
They beat the Packers. Blew them off the field.
38-3. And then now they're losing to the Giants
after they won at New England the previous week.
No idea.
Exactly.
Or was that just perfectly describe Jameis Winston?
Pretty much.
I mean,
riding the highs and lows of that, but for them to blow that game like they did,
strange.
Just awful.
Strange.
Especially if you had them in teasers.
The Jets beat the freaking Titans in overtime, 27-24.
I'd rather Trevor just analyze this one.
Zach Wilson threw 2 touchdowns off his back foot in the fourth quarter, despite throwing like 18 interceptions a game before that.
It killed my nooner.
Derrick Henry, even though he's like the greatest back in the world, he can't be in on a pass play for whatever reason because he just can't catch the ball as like a receiver. So they've got freaking Zach Pascal or something in there on second, third, and fourth down when they need to win the game. So their best player is essentially like nullified on the most important plays of the game if they can't run it.
And still ran for like 162.
To be fair, they were missing A.J. Brown and Julio Jones.
Yeah, that is
but
a...
But still.
I know. Zach Wilson gets his first win. Good for him.
Chiefs 42, Eagles
30.
30. My
the
phone.
The Eagles were like, I was like, what is going on with Kansas City?
Their defense is what's going on.
Yeah,
with
they're
Kansas
not
City.
Very good, is it?
That no, defense. Not at all.
I mean, Buffalo might score 100 this week. Take the over in that one.
The Chiefs have literally given up more than 1,700 yards in 4 games.
Which
is the most in the league. They're 31st in scoring defense, worst in yards per game allowed. But they have Tyreek Hill.
Yes, they do.
Who was just unbelievable in that game.
You just can't cover him.
No. It's like you're playing Madden and people lob it up to Tyreek Hill and no one's in the area. Like, come on, man. Like,
right.
This is so unrealistic. Then you watch the games. You're like, they throw it up to Tyreek Hill and no one's in the area. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, okay.
It's like, what is going on?
That is how it works.
Isn't it funny to do today in a world where our athletes continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger? Maybe 2 of the most explosive NFL players are the shortest people in the world. Tyreek Hill and Kyler Murray.
Mm.
Makes you think.
It does make you think.
Makes me think that we'll just do the afternoon games at 5 because it's 4:40 or 4:39.
I knew we were going to do this. All right, we got to take a quick break. Jonah Wilson to talk Missouri Valley. We got teams moving from the OVC to the Missouri Valley. How good is Illinois State going to be? How good could Southern be in basketball? We're just going to kind of jump out of that and then bring you back into basketball in the 5 o'clock hour with Illinois Basketball Media Day. Hear from some of the players, and then we'll pick our bracket challenge in Major League Baseball at 5:30, somewhere in there, maybe get to the rest of those late games in the NFL. It is The Drive.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there. You can say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
You could chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You could ask on your couch while you binge-watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking.
Out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
2 Chronicles 7:14 states, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Please pray for our nation and our leaders that we may seek the blessings and favor of the Lord. This message brought to you by the Blossom Basket Florist, located on Cunningham and Urbana and at Village at the Crossing in Champaign, the Blossom Basket Florist.
Blumenshine again from Remax Realty Associates. Brad, we're so busy now. How do you take the stress out of buying a home?
Well, Lon, you know this housing market's been crazy recently. A lot of people think they missed out. But if you're one of those luxury home buyers or sellers, the homes of $350,000 or more, there's still a ton of people out there looking for them. So give me a call right now, Brad Blumenshine with the Remax Collection.
Be sure to give Brad a call or text at 217-840-4381.
Take charge of the years ahead with a smart, sound investment strategy and business succession plan. UC Bank's business and wealth management experts help you envision your best future with powerful insights and proven strategies. Building business and growing wealth since 1868, UC Bank, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini, member FDIC.
Hey, Line Eye fans, it's Georgia B and Stevie J broadcasting, and you are listening to the amazing ESPN Radio 93.5.
Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise will be back at the bottom of next hour. We will do our predictions for MLB postseason. Starts tonight, Red Sox and Yankees. Let's get it on. All right, so about 2 weeks ago, I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, Belmont is leaving the OVC and going to the Missouri Valley Conference. Interesting. And then Murray State just decided that they're going to leave the OVC. And so our buddy Jonah Wilson, who is kind of a Missouri Valley pundit, he knows this stuff in the Valley. I thought we'd have Jonah on to explain all of this. Jonah, what's up, buddy?
How's it going, Lon?
It is going well. Why would Belmont and Murray State right now make the move out of the OVC and jump into the Missouri Valley? I mean, I know that, you know, that's going to make the Valley even stronger, which I love as a Saluki fan, but that's really going to cripple that OVC. So kind of what went into that in your mind?
I think Commissioner Jeff Jackson, newly appointed commissioner of the Missouri Valley Conference, after Doug Elgin stepped down, retired, he saw the need for the Valley to be proactive, especially after big losses in 2013 with Creighton, in 2017 with Wichita State moving to the American.
And right. Just
being proactive in this ever evolving and revolving college basketball landscape. I mean, we see it with the Big 12 right now and how they're being decimated, and the American Conference in general. That's a sinking ship, and I think the OVC is very much the same way. You take a program like Belmont, who has won 20-plus games for the last 10, 11 seasons. I mean, Rick Byrd, famous coach there. They now have Casey Alexander. They made the NCAA tournament in 2019 and beat Temple, eventually losing to Maryland. But this is a really, really good ad. I think it also increases the NBC footprint, as the NBC did in 2013 when they added Loyola Chicago. They opened up that Chicago market, and I think this will increase the visibility and the exposure of the Missouri Valley Conference, adding Belmont a very successful team coming off a 25-26 win season. And we'll get to sort of see an early Missouri Valley Conference special. Belmont plays Drake, I think it's the 25th of November.
Nice.
In Florida, in Orlando, for a preseason out-of-conference tournament before they enter into the conference in 2022-23 season. Murray State's kind of a lesser known. I mean, Matt Brown reported it last week that Murray State was kind of leaning that direction too, and they were considered in the last round of selections when Valparaiso was selected for the Missouri Valley in 2017. But this is, yeah, this is a really good program as well. This is kind of the one that I was pushing for the whole time ever since Wichita State left, because they kind of fit the Valley brand of basketball.
And agree.
You know, this is a Southern fan, like SIU, passionate fan base. Murray State's very similar to that, and they yes. have, and they've had NBA caliber players, Isaiah Cannon, Cameron Payne, John Morant. This is a really good program led by MacMahon and Matt MacMahon, and then Steve Prohm, and then Mick Cronin in the early 2000s. So this will be an excellent get for the Missouri Valley if they can get that, and ultimately good for Arch Madness, because I think they'll bring a lot of fans mm-hmm. too, and kind of fill that void that Wichita State had.
Jonah, the addition potentially of Murray State. We know that Belmont, if you're familiar with the OVC, each and every year that OVC tournament game's always coming down to those two. They're always at the top yep. of the league, and yep. both very, very good programs. If they were able to pull that off and get both of them, where would that put the Missouri Valley in the pecking order of mid-major conferences? Would they be the top in terms of basketball just with the depth they would have?
I think so, and especially you look at the emergence of teams like Missouri State, Southern Illinois with Coach Brian Mullins, Northern Iowa is going to have a great year this year. This will probably be the best Valley year since 2006, I believe. And adding two high-profile teams that win 20-plus games every year and play pretty decent out-of-conference schedules, it's only going to improve the league and improve those inter-conference opportunities, because you saw teams like Loyola and Drake last year. They didn't get those opportunities within the conference to play teams who are higher in KenPom, higher in net ranking. So I think it'll put, in my opinion, I think it'll put the Missouri Valley right next to the American Conference, who was rated. And I don't know, they tried to reach out to Colorado State and Air Force and other institutions about joining the American, but they passed. So I think this move right here, adding these two teams, elevates the Missouri Valley over the Atlantic 10 and right up there with the American right now.
Jonah Wilson, he covers the Missouri Valley, Missouri Valley pundit. He knows all about this. Now, Derek Piper, you would have enjoyed Jonah and I's conversation earlier today, because we were talking about another team that may or maybe one day could join the Valley, and that's
Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon, excuse me. And I know you were at a game.
I was.
And loved it. I told Jonah, you loved that. I mean, they'd be a good fit in the Valley.
I've been to a lot of...
Absolutely. I think what Bryce Drew's doing over there, and John Marley was there for a while. I mean, he kind of built that program up, and then they kind of wanted to take that next step. And they played Iowa this year in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And you look at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, it's right up there in terms of fan support, 50-50 Iowa and Grand Canyon. They brought two busloads of students, and they flew them out there. Yeah, it's a big deal. And Illinois played Grand Canyon, I think it was a couple years ago.
Right.
That was a big time atmosphere, and it's not an easy place to play. I know Northern Iowa played there 2 years ago in their Valley winning season, and yeah, they've got a big time fan base, a booming market in Phoenix, Arizona. I think that's definitely a consideration that the Valley wants to continue to expand. And Drake's AD, Matt Martin, he didn't rule out the possibility of even further expansion, along with, this was obviously before the Murray State stuff came out, but I think Grand Canyon would be an excellent add. I mean, you look at the financials and the logistics, that could be a struggle. But in terms of basketball, and this is a basketball-centric league, that would be a big add as well.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be too long before Grand Canyon's probably looking to take a step up into a bigger league and more exposure. And in terms of an environment, that's as good as I've seen. And I've been around and seen games in the Big Ten. Like, that place was hopping. There's a big investment into basketball. Jonah, I'm curious, because when you think about the ceiling of the Missouri Valley, I think that Loyola, what they're going to do post Porter Mosier, post Cameron Crutwig, two names that are still sore spots around here in Champaign.
Doubt.
But What do you think of Drew Valentine stepping into that spot as the head man? And do you think Loyola will stay at the top of the Missouri Valley and still be the type of contender they've been here the last couple of years?
I think it's Loyola's league to lose, especially since Drake's backup center, Issa Samaka, went down in the preseason with an ACL injury. I think the comparisons when Drew Valentine first got the job to Brad Stevens, eventually Brad Stevens took the job from Todd Licklider at Butler, and we all know what happened there, yeah. National championship appearances. I think he's a sleeping giant in terms of a college basketball coach, and as much as I love the Missouri Valley, Tom Izzo's not getting any younger. Drew Valentine, brother Denzel went to Michigan State. Drew played at Oakland. I think that could be a possibility, but players love him. Braden Norris, that was one of the reasons he went to Loyola, because Drew Valentine recruited him very, very hard. Damazi Anderson, transfer from Indiana. They obviously have everyone from that starting lineup back, but Krutwig got the guard play. Norris, Williamson, excellent defender. He played really well in those games against Illinois and Georgia Tech. That was the reason they won the game, his 21 points in the round of 64. But this team added depth on the front line as well. Chris Knight was an Ivy League player. And then their recruiting class, too, this year. St. Thomas is a name to watch. He's freshman from Omaha, Nebraska. Really, really good player. He played next to Hunter Salas, who is at Gonzaga right now. And I think what Drew's done there, he's an excellent recruiter. He was the defensive mastermind behind all of Porter's success the last 3-4 years. And you saw what he did against Illinois, and especially against Io DeSumo last year.
Yeah.
So I think it's Loyola and Drake, and then the rest is kind of unknown. I think there's four teams in that top tier. You've got Loyola, Drake, Missouri State, and Northern Iowa, and I don't think Southern Illinois is that far behind.
Those
top five are going to be really, really strong this year.
What do you think of SIU and Illinois State this year? Can Dan Moeller, can he get things turned back around in the right direction for Illinois State? And I know Southern was very young last year. They got a lot of those guys back. So I am excited about what the Dogs will bring this year. But what do you think of those two teams coming into the season?
I think Illinois State will definitely be better from their 7-15 mark last year. They added two really good transfers. Mark Freeman from Tennessee State, he's a fluid scorer and he's an excellent defender. And Kendall Lewis from Appalachian State, he's about 6'7", with about a 6'9", 6'10", wingspan. Both really good defenders. Problem is, everyone else in the Missouri Valley is just as good or better. You look Loyola, Missouri State, even Evansville retained two of their senior guys. So I don't see, Valparaiso, they hit the transfer portal hard with a couple Big Ten guys. And I think it'll definitely be a better year in terms of win-wise, but ISU will still be playing on that Thursday night game just because the rest of the league is better. And there's still a lot of question marks, especially in the front court. The loss of Dusan Mahorsic to Utah, and there's a lot of unknown. Cy Chapman, he was a distraction to the team last year, 6'8 transfer from UMass. He ended up opting out and then entering the transfer portal, coming back. Abdu Jai did the same thing, entered the portal, came back, and then Liam McChesney, he's a 6'10 transfer from Utah State, and then Ryan Schmidt, also a transfer from Des Moines Area Community College. So not a lot of Division I experience on the front line, and
sure,
there's going to be a lot of excellent big guys in the conference this year. Darnell Brody, Austin Fife in Northern Iowa, Kyler Filowich, Scotty Ubi from SIU, and I think in terms of the Salukis, 97% of their scoring back. Brian Mullins has shown he's a heck of a coach.
I agree.
Guard play is what wins in this league. And you look at guys like Lance Jones, Marcus Damask, and then their freshman class this year is the best it's been since the late Lowry years, 08, 09, with Foster Wonders, Troy D'Amico. So I think expectations are going to be very, very high in Saluki land this year.
Nice. I like hearing that.
One more note on the Redbirds. If this isn't the bounce back year that Dan Moeller needs, they went 7-18 last year. Do you expect him to be on the chopping block if this isn't it?
As much as being a Redbird fan and the fandom I have, I think his buyout money is around $1.5 million still since he got extended after that season in 2016 and 17, where they won 28 games and reached the second round of the NIT with Paris Lee and those guys. But I think Kyle Brennan will give Dan Mueller this year and next year to figure it out. And if next year doesn't go, 22-23 doesn't go well, especially with the new ads to the league, I think they'll look a different direction. And one big name to look at, if that were to be the case, Roger Powell. He's on Gonzaga's staff right now. He played for Illinois in 2005. I think that'd be a big-time hire and a home-run hire if that were the case. But
the Rev.
Yeah, not the best times right now in Redbird land.
No, not at all. Hey, Jonah, we've got about a minute. What happens now to the Ohio Valley Conference? Because obviously that affects Eastern Illinois. We have a lot of listeners that are Panthers fans. I mean, they're going to keep going. It's not like they're breaking up. But what are they going to try to add a couple, or how would that work with them?
Yeah, they're definitely in a pretty precarious spot right now with three big members leaving. I'm Jacksonville State going to the Atlantic Sun as well.
Right.
I think they're going to have to look at UIS, University of Illinois Springfield, and then USI, University of Southern Indiana. They've played a couple games against Evansville in the past, exhibition-wise. I think those are two teams that are making the jump to Division One, and just getting them in there right away, I think, will be important. But it's not looking great right now in terms of Ohio Valley Conference. And the question is, like, is Murray State going to play Missouri Valley Conference football? Or are they going to still sponsor it? Or are they going to – so those questions are definitely worth mentioning, and it's tough days definitely for the Ohio Valley Conference ahead. But UIS, USI are kind of the two big names that are being floated around right now.
It is a strange time right now around college sports, no doubt, and money talks, and obviously those kind of things happen, and this is why we're where we're at, and we'll see kind of what happens with that Ohio Valley. Jonah Wilson, I can't thank you enough for your expertise on all of this. You really filled us in on a lot of that stuff. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lon. Have a good one.
You too, buddy. Man, he knows his stuff.
He does.
Roger Powell to Illinois State. See, to me, I almost feel like to me now he's... Don't get mad at me, ISU fans, because I'd say the same about Southern. I feel like he's outgrown that job now. Does that make sense?
I'm with you on that for sure.
But he's never been a head coach. So, what, he was what, at Valpo? Then he was at Vandy? Is that
Valpo,
right?
Valpo, Vandy, then Gonzaga.
Then Gonzaga. But
it would be interesting to what that landing spot would be like for him. It's not like he's going to jump right into the Big Ten.
No, I wouldn't.
As a head coach.
Right. I mean, maybe Illinois State would be a good start. I really thought, and I love Dan Mueller. I told him, you know, on our airways, I'm like, you are the second most hated Illinois State Redbird ever for me. But I just thought when he landed at Illinois State, it was a no-brainer that you know, team would just dominate. And they had some transfers happen, you know, all that stuff, kind of some bad luck, if you will. And now he just hasn't regrouped.
No.
So we'll see if he can get that done. That was a good question on your end because, I mean, the idea that he was such a successful player at Illinois State, that makes it hard. That's one of those where, you know, and I'm right there in that corner of why can't we get an Illini to coach? You know, you think like, I don't know, take like a Nathan Shielhouse coming and coaching football. Well, what if it hits that point where now you've got to be like,
Like Scott Frost?
Yeah, like Scott Frost. It becomes awkward, doesn't it? It really does. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed that. Let's do this. Let's focus on Big Ten basketball when we come back right here in our backyard with the University of Illinois. We'll hear from some of the players from Media Day, and we'll do our predictions for Major League Baseball at 5:30. It is The Drive.